Now, Philip was murdered 2 years after this idea was sent before the Greeks. But it was his 20-year-old son and heir, Alexander, who picked up the plan. And in 334 BC, Alexander led an army numbering some 42,000 Macedonian soldiers and Greek soldiers into Persian territory with the aim of liberating the Greeks in Anatolia, punishing the Persians for destroying Athens, and of course, to gain wealth and power. Alexander the Great is a figure who is surrounded by numerous legends and tales, and many of these Alexander himself actually believed. One of his most treasured beliefs was that he was descended from the great hero of the Trojan War, Achilles. So as a consequence, when Alexander and his army marched into Anatolia on their first step in their attack on Persia, his first stop was Troy, which in his day, in the 4th century BC, was firmly identified with the ruins of modern-day Hissarlik. And remember, we talked about this in our second lecture, how Hissarlik is thought by many to be the site of ancient Troy, and certainly by the Greek and Roman period was identified with the site of ancient Troy. So Alexander and his army crossed the Hellespont and immediately went to Troy. There were people living there, and they showed Alexander all the sites. They showed him the sepulchre or tomb of his forebear of Achilles. And Alexander is said to have run around the tomb several times naked in celebration of his great ancestor. He also visited the Temple of Athena, which was located on the very top of the ancient citadel at Hissarlik. It was a building that actually sat on top of the earlier Bronze Age palaces that we've talked about in the second lecture. Within that temple, there was armor that was supposed to be armor left behind by the soldiers, Greek soldiers of the Trojan War, and Alexander took some of those pieces for himself. So he found his visit to Troy satisfying in his belief that he was descended from a great hero of this famous site. But when he left Troy, Alexander had to get down to work, and he engaged the Persians in battle at a place not too far from Troy, on a river called the Granicus. His battle of the Granicus River was his first great victory over the Persians, and it sent a shockwave, actually, through the Persian Empire, because the Persians actually had not taken Alexander that seriously. One man with an army entering the vast Persian Empire didn't seem too threatening, but they had no idea with whom they were dealing. Alexander's victory then caused a stir amongst the Persians, and people living in the west coast of Anatolia immediately came over to Alexander. Various Greek cities sent delegations to him as he was marching south towards Sardis, the great Persian satrapy. It's interesting that the Persian satrap housed at Sardis immediately surrendered. He had no interest in trying to defend himself and his territory against Alexander. Alexander installed a new governor in Sardis, and this governor saw to it that the taxes that were once paid to the Persians now went to Alexander. So the idea of Alexander liberating people under the Persian Empire has to be qualified a bit, because it seems it was simply Alexander's rule replacing the rule of the Persians. Now, Alexander, as he traveled through Anatolia, wanted certainly to please the people. And one way to do this was to build things. So throughout his travels in this region, and in fact throughout most of the Persian world that he conquered, Alexander either built or promised to build great temples to the gods. In Sardis, in fact, he planned to build an enormous temple to Zeus on the top of the great Sardian Acropolis. Unfortunately, he didn't stay long enough to see that building begin to be constructed. Now, from Sardis, Alexander and his army marched south to the Ionian city of Ephesus. The people of Ephesus welcomed him cautiously. They really weren't certain what this young man was going to bring to them. Now, this is an interesting story because the city was in the process of rebuilding the huge temple of Artemis that we've mentioned on several occasions. If you remember, this temple was first built in the 7th century BC, and we discussed the fact that here at Ephesus, Artemis was combined with the old Anatolian, Phrygian, mother goddess Cybele. Well, coincidentally, the 6th century temple of Artemis, the one that King Croesus of Lydia helped build, burned down the night of Alexander the Great's birth. And Alexander knew this, and he felt himself quite connected to this temple. And when he got to Ephesus, it was already nearly completed, but Alexander certainly wanted to be responsible for some element of the building. The people of Ephesus declined his offer. Evidently, they did not want to feel too much in his power. But Alexander, as usual, got his way. He abolished the taxes that Ephesus was paying to Persia, but established a contribution to be paid to him. Once again, one may question what kind of liberation Alexander offered the Greeks from the Persians. In any case, this contribution he then gave to the fund to help with the temple's erection. So he was able to finally help contribute to the construction of this temple that was so connected to him.